Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. Call 3 months, a coming-of-age story, a living with HIV story, and Paramount Plus's latest original movie attraction that premiered earlier today. Executive producer, writer, and first-time director Jared Frieder joins me next in an internet radio exclusive. HBO has an unusual presentation coming tonight, Frederick Douglass in 5 speeches. Call this a deeper dramatic dive into one of this nation's most important crusaders of color. Learn how from director Julia Marchese after the bottom of the hour. Also ahead, Tuesdays go true crime on Peacock and our classic trivia question. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio, and presented on Apple Podcasts, the iHeartRadio Podcast Network, Amazon Music, Verbal, and Reason. This just in on 2/23/2022, tomorrow will be televised. Brought to you by Audible.com, the leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book or two when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later in our program. 64 beautiful degrees at the top of the hour here in New York, and on this midweek, we welcome you to the program all about TV's current and future. Second of 3 episodes we're doing today, and both of our subjects deal with shows. One has already premiered today, the other will premiere tonight. And we'd like you to be involved in the conversation with our guests. So all you have to do is pick up the phone and dial in with this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anyway. You're catching us across the country or around the globe here on Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, or TuneIn Radio. You can also use our chat room. It's available to you right now. SimonApple04 is the name of the room. You'll find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. And while the program is on the air, you can connect with others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon, your Blog Talk Speaker, TuneIn screen. Follow the instructions. Those will be live with you. Jared Frieder from 3 months, live from Los Angeles, after these news notes. When February becomes March, Peacock will introduce true crime series and specials on a regular basis Tuesdays. Initial programs include two-part special Perfect World, a murder investigation involving a group of friendly gaming fans, and Preaching Evil, a four-part miniseries dealing with cult leader Warren Jeffs. Coming attractions include Sins of the Amish, an expose on sex scandals among the Amish population. Now, quickies. Amazon will bring Upload, the future-minded sitcom from The Office co-creator Greg Daniels, back for Season 2, March 11th. Ozark's final set of episodes kicks off over on Netflix April 29th. And another in Netflix development, unscripted docuseries The Annie Warhol Diaries, with Ryan Murphy co-executive producer, unfolds March 9th. YouTube's annual Brandcast event here in New York is set to come back May 17th in prime time. It's on the week when key media players from Disney to NBC Universal offer their future forming lineups. We also just learned that Nickelodeon is going to be back with an in-person upfront event next month in Times Square. AccuWeather Now became the latest offering of multi-channel bundle Redbox. That's Redbox earlier today. And the Oprah Winfrey Network relationship series Put a Ring on It begins Season 3, March 25th. And that is news notes for today. Now joining us live from Los Angeles, an innovative exclusive, the executive producer, writer, and first-time director of the new Paramount Plus movie, 3 months, Jared Frieder. Jared, congratulations. Happy to have you with us.
So excited to be here. Thank you for having me.
What's the early reaction you're getting on your film?
I mean, it's been pretty surreal. You know, it's a story that I've been working on for almost a decade, and it's finally out into the world, and everyone seems to be loving it, and you know, especially young queer people are really connecting with the themes and the hopefulness of the story. So it's been pretty surreal, I got to say.
Mm-hmm. Well, how did this surreal situation actually get realized starting today? What inspired the film?
You know, it's always been a dream of mine to sort of create stories and tell stories that I would have loved to hear as a queer kid that would have made me feel less alone. And so that's what I set out to do. And basically it's about this kid who is coming of age and on the eve of his high school graduation, a condom rips and he's exposed to HIV and he has to wait the 3 months it takes to get tested. And while he's waiting, he falls in love with someone who's also waiting. And even though it sounds serious and heavy with its themes and topics, it's a very funny, lighthearted, hopeful, gentle story. And, you know, I tried to make it 10 years ago and it failed as a movie and then a TV show and then a movie again. And, you know, thanks to MTV Studios and Paramount, we finally got to pull the trigger, and now it's available on Paramount Plus for everyone to see, and I couldn't be more thrilled.
Before you tell us how MTV, through their studios unit, pulled the trigger to get this film off the ground, explain the three-month situation, because for some people who may not be involved or know about the scene with HIV/AIDS, why do you have to wait 3 months to find out if you have it?
Right. So basically, this story is set in 2011, and at that time, it took 3 months for the HIV antibodies to develop so that they could be read on a test from the exposure. So, you know, it's something that gay people know really well. This is new to straight people, although, you know, now that we're all experienced to COVID and, you know, there's an antibody test for COVID or a PCR test and you have to wait 4 days for it to show up or, you know, 4 to 14 days. So that sort of same logic and the way that viruses, you know, develop in the body, it takes time before you can detect them in a test. So this is sort of a similar concept with HIV back in 2011. So if you are basically getting, you know, exposed to HIV, you have to wait 3 months for those antibodies to develop where they're detectable on a test.
So how did MTV get wind of your project and finally give you the green light?
So it was a really interesting process. So I ended up, after I couldn't make it as a movie, I sold it to a television network, a major streaming platform. They opened a writer's room. We wrote the first 6 episodes, and for one reason or another, you know, the show didn't make it to air. And so we took out those 6 teleplays, which were based on the original screenplay, to different studios to see if other people had interest in picking it up. And MTV Studios, run by Pam Post at the time, who's an executive producer on the film as well, she read those teleplays and were like, you know, this sounds like a good TV show, but I think it would make an even better movie. And I said, it's so funny that you say that. It was originally a movie, and I got the screenplay right here. And basically, that's how it came to fruition. And once we cast Troye Sivan, who is both an incredible actor but also a pop star, you know, once we were able to cast it, we got the green light. And the funny thing is, we went into production on March 3rd, 2020. And I don't know if you remember what happened just after that, but the world came crashing down thanks to COVID. So we ended up shooting 2 weeks and then were shut down for 7 months, never knowing if we would ever finish. And, you know, all credit to MTV Studios and Paramount for bringing us back and letting us finish the story. So it's been a pretty, you know, crazy roller coaster the whole way through.
Did Troye see the script before MTV approved it? How did he get involved in the project?
No. So MTV, this was already at MTV. They wanted to make it, and then the casting process began, and we brought on producers Dan DeBecky and Laura Alamedine of the Elysian Theater, who have made films like Juno and Jennifer's Body and Up in the Air. And they're just really esteemed producers who was able to get a read from Troye, and he just flipped for the script. He just loved it. And we met with him, like, as soon as he read it, and he said he wanted to be a part of it. And that's sort of how that came to be. And, you know, from there we cast Judy Greer and Ellen Burstyn and Louis Gossett Jr. and Amy Landecker. And it was a really organic process when it came to casting. I feel very fortunate.
And we're going to talk more about that cast, because for a first-time director to have not one, but 2 Academy Award-winning actors, Ellen Burstyn, Louis Gossett Jr., we'll find out how much of a seventh heaven that was for our guests. Jared Frieder, he is the executive producer, writing director of 3 Months, the brand-new Paramount Plus made-for-TV movie that came out today. Paramount Plus available on smart TV sets and smart devices all over the place. And Jared joins us live from Los Angeles this half hour. On Tomorrow will be televised. Tom Abbott with you live from New York on the program about TV's current and future. Happy to have you aboard. 64 degrees at the top of the hour. You have a question or comment for our guests? Make the phone call, 646-652-2906, or use that chat room, SimonApple04 by name. One more episode coming your way this week. It happens on Friday. A big 90-minute one for you. Brain Games, the long-running award-winning National Geographic series, is back for a new round of on-the-road episodes that premieres on Friday night. We've got the executive producer, James Rowley. Also, BYU TV is a brand-new scripted series premiering this weekend. And it's called Ruby and the Well, and they like it so much, they've already given it a second season. We hope to have one of the producers on board. And finally, in one of our most unique situations involving a scripted series, we're going to take you live to both Canada and South Korea. That's right, for a brand new series that premiered earlier this month on IMDb TV, the Amazon ad-supported service. It's called Drama World, and it's its second season. We will speak live from Canada with executive producer, co-creator, and director Chris Martin, and co-star of the series and executive producer, Sean Dulake. That's all coming up Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific, big 90-minute edition coming your way right here on Tomorrow Be Televised. Jared, was it your intention all along to direct?
You know, it's so funny that you say it wasn't. You know, when I first wrote this as a wee 23-year-old, I didn't think that I had the experience yet to direct. And then, you know, at 29, when I finally got this green light, I said, you know, I would really like to direct it and put a lookbook together and, you know, created a whole visual palette and aesthetic for the film. And again, I'm so grateful for MTV and Pam Post, and they said, okay, let's go for it. Let's do it. And I'm still honestly pinching myself. It was pretty surreal. I keep using that word, but that's because it's the only one that feels like it fits, you know?
Mm-hmm. So what kind of a crash course is it for you to be a first-time director on a film that has a pop star in the lead role, that has an Emmy nominee in Brienne 2, plus you have not one but two Academy Award winners? We're talking powerhouse people. When you think of Ellen Burstyn, who won the Academy Award, I believe it was with The Exorcist, she also won an Emmy Award a number of years ago for an outstanding role as Chris Maloney's father on Law & Order Special Victims Unit. One of the most, I think, affecting scenes you'll find in that series is in that episode. And then a great actor, Louis Gossett Jr., from An Officer and a Gentleman. I mean, that, you know, very few first-time directors ever get the chance to direct not one but two Oscar winners in the same film.
Yeah, I mean, again, it was really wild. I think basically those people at that age, those actors of that caliber, you know, they were both 87 when we filmed, or around 87. They just don't often get meaty parts. You know, those parts dry up for actors of a certain age. And I wrote really incredible, deep, meaningful parts for these grandparents of the protagonists. And, you know, Ellen was based, she just really connected with the character and the script and the themes, and she wanted to do it. And we had an amazing conversation, and she's basically playing a character that's based off of my grandmother. And we talked about how she looked and how she sounded. She's a Brooklyn Jew, and getting the dialect right. And it really excited her. And, you know, the thing that I think is really important as a director that people don't often talk about is the power of listening. And I'm an incredible listener and a collaborator, and I worked with them on these roles. I listened to them, and it ended up creating such a loving and nurturing environment where I learned from them. And, you know, I think it shows on screen. But, yeah, I mean, I was incredibly nervous at the same time because these are my heroes, right? These are two of the people who made me want to be a filmmaker in the process. So it was both a really collaborative experience and also a very nerve-wracking one for sure.
Mm-hmm. So how do you, you know, stay on an even keel and keep the nerves? Someone once told me it's okay to be nervous. If you're nervous, you're present. You're present to what's around you, and you're more involved in the situation than if you were, like, you know, a person of stone, if you will. So how do you correlate that with trying to get the best performance out of people like Atreya Sivan?
You know, you just have to stay in the moment. And that was really key for me, that there are so many distractions when you're on set. Everybody wants something new from every department, not to mention that we were shooting at the beginning of COVID. Like, when we were brought back 6 months later to finish the film, there were no vaccines. The testing routines were new. Everything was new. It was September, October of 2020. So that's a distraction that I didn't even account for when I was thinking about the roadblocks I would encounter as a first-time director. And it was challenging, but, you know, surrounding yourself with the right people. I had incredible producers on this project again, Laura and Dan, who had made some of my favorite movies, who are pros. And surrounding yourself with people who know what your blind spots might be, so that if you come across an issue or a challenge that you weren't prepared for, they can help guide you. That was so important for me. And they just helped me stay grounded. It really, you know, it does take a village to make a film, and you have to surround yourself with smart people who you trust, who are the best at what they do. And I was very fortunate to have those types of people around me at all times while making this film.
Speaking of surreal, was that surreal to do the film amid a pandemic about somebody who is dealing with another scourge of health in the HIV and AIDS?
It was weird. You know, I think about this a lot now, and I'm sort of still reflecting on it. But the movie is about someone having to wait in uncertainty because of a virus. And we were literally, as a film, having to wait in uncertainty because of a virus. And it was almost a little too meta for me. I would have enjoyed not having to do that. But listen, you know, you get dealt, everybody got dealt a very strange hand when it came to COVID, and people's lives were upended in very different ways that were much bigger than, you know, just a little movie. But I did just take every challenge that we were presented as an opportunity to make the film better. All the anxiety that we as filmmakers felt while making this film during a pandemic, we tried to channel it into making this movie the best that it could be. And hopefully that's reflected when you see it on screen.
Mm-hmm. Going back to Troy's performance in the lead role, what guidance did you give him to play this this character as best as possible?
For me, the thing that I love about Troy and the thing that I always wanted him to focus on was the honesty of his performance. He's such a natural, subtle, grounded, gifted actor, and he has the ability to take a big joke or a situation that is filled with anxiety and just really translate it to screen in a way that felt authentic and real and natural. And not every young actor is capable of that. And I just wanted to constantly remind him to stay true to the honesty of his portrayal of this performance and stay connected to what the character was going through. And also to remember that, you know, this is a comedy. It's a lighthearted film. And to find humor in the darkest moments is something that I think is something that people who are gay and queer do very well, which is take the challenges we are faced with and sort of deal with them through humor. It's also a very Jewish thing, and Troy's also playing a Jew, and he is Jewish. So making sure that, you know, you deal with your trauma via comedy, I wanted him to always remember that because that played such a huge role in his portrayal of this character.
Yeah. The film is based in South Florida because that's where he comes, that's his heritage, where he comes from. Did you shoot the movie in South Florida, or if not, where did you go?
We did. So we shot interiors in Atlanta for that amazing tax credit, and then we shot exteriors and some interiors in Florida, where I grew up, Hollywood, Florida, which is just north of Miami. And Florida is such a bizarre place. It's a great place to set a story because there's so many different types of people there. It's a very dangerous and wild environment to grow up in, and I really wanted to stay authentic to my upbringing and sort of show Florida as almost another character in this film. And it was pretty wild to shoot where I grew up. It felt very full circle for me.
Mm-hmm. You're hearing Jared Frieder. He is the executive producer, writer, and director of the newest Paramount Plus original made-for-TV movie called 3 Months. It's his debut, by the way, as a director with this film, and the film premiered on Paramount Plus earlier today. Of course, the network is available, or I should say the mega content service, is available on smart TV sets and devices all over the place. And we've got Jared joining us live from L.A. this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. Happy wherever you are, you're with us too. Simon Alba, I'm with you live from New Web, New York. If you have a question or comment on our remaining minutes with Jared, make a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. 1 week from today, from Friday on Smart TV Televised, we're going to introduce you to another of the growing number of new services available on smart TV sets and smart devices. It's based here in the Big Apple. It's called Yada TV. You'll meet the head of the network. The person who put it together, name is Tara Merchant. Wait till you hear what she's got in store for that service. There's even a community outreach element to it. So be with us a week from Friday when Yada TV comes your way right here on Tomorrow Be Televised. And coming up, by the way, in our next half hour, we've got our classic trivia question of the week contest, brand new question that we posed for the first time yesterday, and we've got the Nailed In cookbook from Netflix that can be yours with the correct answer. And joining us for the second half hour will be the director of the brand new HBO special, Frederick Douglass in 5 Speeches. It premieres tonight at 9 p.m. Eastern and Pacific Time. Juno Marchese, director, she'll be along here in New York in the next half hour. Jared, for you, what was the toughest scene to write, and what was the toughest scene to direct?
For me, the, the most challenging scene to write is there's a dramatic sequence at the climax of the film where, I mean, spoiler alert, but where Caleb goes home to see his mother, who has sort of abandoned him as she's found her Orthodox Judaism. And it's the most serious and dramatic sequence in the film. And it was definitely the most challenging to write because it was the most difficult experience for the character to go through. And I got so close to Caleb as I was writing this that his pain was my pain. And so that was a really hard one to write. And then from a directing standpoint, I think the most challenging scene to direct, but also the most rewarding scene to direct is the breakup scene between Caleb and Esta, the two leads, the love interests in the film, because it was one of our last scenes that we were shooting in Atlanta before we went to Florida. It was really late at night. We were all exhausted. And, you know, Caleb has to sort of access a manic energy in that breakup. It's not morose. It's not exactly an FU type breakup either. It's more of a, he sort of slowly loses his mind and becomes unhinged. But working with Troy and working with Vivek, the two actors, and getting there, even though it was super challenging, it was so rewarding because I'm so proud of that scene. And it became one of my favorites in the film.
By the way, the person you're talking about is Vivek Khaotra, who was in the movie Blinded by the Light. He plays the friend, the boyfriend, in the or love interest, you would say, in the film. By the way, Troy also, I understand, wrote a pair of songs that are also used in the movie.
Yes, he did. Yeah, he wrote these two incredible songs called Trouble and Wait that he wrote from the perspective of Caleb, the character he plays. And, you know, as a huge fan of Troye Sivan, that was a huge pinch me moment to have one of the, you know, musical artists that you idolize sort of access this character and write songs from their own heads and heart. And they're so good. They're getting so much play all over streaming services. And you should check them out. They're called Trouble and Wait, and they're both beautiful.
Mm-hmm. So, has Paramount Plus or MTV contacted you and said, you know, those six scripts for a possible series based on this movie, should we put them out of the closet? And maybe, just maybe, they might become, you still might get a series.
Oh, my gosh. That would be really funny. You know, they haven't said that yet. I think we're all, it's, you know, creating a movie and putting it out into the world, sort of like giving birth to a child. And so we're all in that post-labor moment now that it finally just came out this morning. So we're all dizzy and excited and happy and drinking champagne. So maybe when the dust settles and we see how the film does, maybe that'll happen. But I wouldn't rule anything out. That would be cool.
Hmm. Incidentally, with those six scripts, how does the story evolve? Where does the characters go?
So, you know, it's really interesting because, as you know, the film itself is called 3 months and is over the course of 3 months in this kid's life. But for the show, to pitch it as a television show, I had to break over 5 seasons of story for the pitch, just because when you adapt a movie into a TV show, they want proof of concept that it has legs beyond the scope that was explored in the screenplay. So we really did go through like 5 years in Caleb and everyone's life. And in case it ever does become a TV show, I don't want to say where it goes because I don't want to spoil it. You got to leave something for the mystery.
Yeah. Well, while you wait for MTV and Paramount Plus to give you a verdict on turning 3 months into a series, are you working on any other projects, any series concepts or what your next TV directing job is going to be?
Yeah, so I'm about to take out a show, you know, now that I'm attaching myself as a director to my projects, it was paramount for us to wait until the movie came out so people could see what I could do. But I'm taking out a show at the end of March that is basically a family comedy set in the porn industry, which people should look out for. And then I can't talk about some of the other stuff that I'm doing, but my only hint is that it might or may not involve some superhero stories, which I'm also really stoked about. So a lot of cool stuff coming, and I just want to keep telling stories.
Mm-hmm. The show set in the corner, what's the name and where is it going to play?
I can't say any of it yet because it's still under wraps and we're taking it out. And right now there's a couple different homes for it, so we haven't landed on one just yet. So people will just have to stay tuned.
Mm-hmm. Finally, what do you hope that people, no matter their orientation, get from this film? What message would you like them to take away and keep in front of their heads?
I think for me, the main thing is that, you know, this is a movie about waiting. It's about what it is feels like to wait, and how waiting is part of the human experience. But waiting does not mean that you stay passive and you shut down. You still have to fight for the things that you want and fight for the things that you love, which is something I think we can all relate to as we are waiting in this strange pandemic for life to resume. And then the other thing I hope people take away is, like, you know, in our modern day with access to healthcare, HIV is no longer a death sentence. And we really can have to continue to have conversations about that, because the next hurdle we need to jump is to destigmatize HIV and talk about the shame that we have around it. And I hope we're able to start those conversations with this film.
The film is 3 months. It's the newest original attraction from Paramount Plus, available on smart TV sets and smart TV devices. So it's available on a smart TV set of device near you. And again, the cast is led by Troye Sivan, Vivek Khatra, Emmy nominee Brian Tu, and two Academy Award winners, Ellen Burstyn and Louis Gossett Jr. Check your available where Paramount Plus available in the air. For more details about the program and the service online, go to www.paramountplus, that's plus, full word, plus.com, not the plus sign, www.paramountplus.com. 3 months, the latest Paramount Plus original attraction, one of the first made-for-TV movies since kicking off nearly a year ago, and it's now playing on a smart TV set or device near you. Jared Frieder, the executive producer, writer, first-time director of this movie, thank you again for joining us. Congratulations on the release of the film on Paramount Plus today. Hopefully much more from you to come. And keep us posted on the Corn Industry Show when that pops up and where. We would love to have you back. It's been a delight to have you on today.
Thank you so much for having me. Have a good one.
You too. Take care. All the greatest. Jared Frieder, executive producer, writer, and director of 3 Months, joining us live from Los Angeles. More tomorrow will be televised, headed your way, but first some words from the fine folks at Audible.com. Tony Robbins, probably the person that invented the idea Life Coach before there was a life coach. Well, he's got a brand new audiobook out that's probably his most unique ever. It's called Life Force. It's one where he shares some, not just from himself and his own experiences, but from many, many other people who are life coaches, financial coaches, social coaches, dealing with how to live life better, more creatively, whether it's your relationships, your business, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And you can get Life Force, this new Tony Robbins book, right now with a one-month trial to Audible.com. Remember, Audible.com is the leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment, information, and certainly inspiration. There's over 250,000 titles to choose from. You can listen to them on any device, including whatever you're hearing us on right now at Blog Talk Radio, SpeakerChin Radio, and any of our podcast destinations. What you got to do is sign up at audibletrial.com/televised. That's audibletrial.com/televised. You get one free audiobook, that one-month trial, plus great customer service from Audible's parent, Amazon.com. And while supply lasts, very important health and wellness information can make a difference for you or someone you know. Plus, if you're an Amazon Prime member already, you get two audiobooks for the trial of one. One of those books would come from the fast-growing catalog of Audible Originals. We're talking original audio productions and podcast series, best of Broadway or Broadway regional theater, great woman, one-man performances, and much, much more. So how about trying out Audible.com and hear how it can be something that can change the way and the world of how you're hearing. It makes a great gift for you or somebody you love any time of the year. So for all the details, it's audibletrial.com/televised. Coming up in our next half hour, we have Julia Marchese, the director of the new HBO special premiering tonight, Frederick Douglass in 5 Speeches. And our classic trivia question of the week. We introduced the question on our first show of the week yesterday. Bring it back today. You could be a winner of the Nailed In Cookbook from Netflix. All that coming your way after we pause near the bottom of the hour for web identification. This is www.blogtalkradio.com, speaker.com, and tunein.com. Together, reaching nearly 70 million listeners around the world every month and growing. If you want something very unique in radio on BTR, check out The Diva. That's The Diva tonight, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, exclusively on Blog Talk Radio. And remember, that's BTR 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to the second half of Tomorrow Be Televised on this midweek Wednesday of 2022. Simon Applebaum with you live from New York, wherever you are. We appreciate you being aboard for the program about TV's current and future. 64 degrees at the top of the hour. If you have a question or comment for our guest ahead, give us a call. 646-652-2906, the number to use, or use our chat room, SimonApple04, by name. If you know HBO, you know it's very, very rare for this popular service to do an historical special on any night of the week. Or for that matter, it's very, very unique for HBO to do a special of any kind on a Wednesday night or any midweek night. But that's what they're doing tonight at 9 p.m. Eastern and Pacific Time. It's a special called Frederick Douglass in 5 Speeches. Joining me here in New York in an interview exclusive to talk about it is the special's director, Julia Marchese. Julia, thanks for being here.
Great to be with you.
Like I said, this is a very unusual thing for HBO to do. Do you get that yourself, that this is that you're behind something that is very remarkable for this service to do?
Yeah, I mean, I think HBO has done some history over the years, but it tends to be more sort of the PBS thing that does this kind of biographical 19th century American history. But that was actually a great challenge for me, to try to make a film about Frederick Douglass that would fit for HBO. That was a challenge, actually.
Mm-hmm. How long was this special in the works for? And at what point did everybody decide, involved in it, we're going to take a look at Douglass's life, not only through the great speeches that he made at various points in his life, but we're going to have 5 different actors act out those speeches?
Yeah. This project really came out of David Blight's Pulitzer Prize-winning biography, which actually came out while I was making a series with Henry Louis Gates Jr. for PBS called Reconstruction, America After the Civil War. And so that book was coming out, and right after we made Reconstruction, we were talking about how to sort of adapt this huge book. I mean, it's a really long, incredibly detailed, amazing book for film. And because it was HBO, we knew we couldn't do a sort of traditional bio doc. It needed to be a little different and a little edgier, a little more modern. And so, you know, I spent a lot of my pandemic reading Frederick Douglass' speeches. And as I'm reading them, I just sort of was thinking, you know, because his voice was never recorded, these speeches are so incredible, but nobody's ever heard them. So the idea sort of emerged to really feature his speech writing and see them performed, because these speeches were things that were performed by Douglass. So that's sort of the genesis of the idea.
You know, Julie, there are very, very few television programs that dramatize some aspect of Frederick Douglass or some aspect of his life. I think one of the very few, believe it or not, was back in the early 1960s on an NBC series called Profiles in Courage, which is based on the book by John F. Kennedy. I believe Robert Hooks played Douglass as one of the each episode focused on a different historical figure, some that were in Kennedy's book, many of them were not, but they all exhibited courage. What do you hope this special will say to people who don't know about Frederick Douglass and the impact he had on society?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny. I think Douglass is one of those names that most people have heard of. They probably know his face. It's on a lot of public murals. You know, everybody sort of knows Frederick Douglass is important for some reason. And a lot of times people will say, oh, he's the abolitionist, he's the orator. But abolitionist and orator are two words we don't really use anymore. So because they're sort of old-fashioned words. So it's hard to really understand why he was as important as he was. And so that was sort of the impetus for using his speeches. It's really, I know you've heard his name. I know you know he's important, but here's why. Here's how he wrote. Here's how he spoke. Here's how he persuaded people to listen to him. And so I really think it's in his speeches and his writing in general that people can understand why he matters so much.
Mm-hmm. How long did it take to pick the speeches?
Oh, that's an interesting question. You know, when I came up with this idea to do 5 speeches, I thought, let me trace the evolution of Douglass's life through 5 speeches, but also the evolution of history in the 19th century. I wanted to find speeches that sort of reflected where he was as a man, but also where the country was. So that's why the first speech, you know, and also I wanted the actors to sort of roughly correspond with Douglass's age when he would have delivered the speech. So you really get a sense of the evolution of his thinking and his demeanor. So that's why the speeches are sort of sprinkled throughout his life, starting when he's only 23, his first known speech, and ending with the final speech he gave called Lessons of the Hour.
And once you picked the speeches, how did that dictate who you had to act out each speech and also how you visually did the speech for the camera?
Yeah. You know, initially I thought, oh, let me just tap the sort of known, established, dignified, older black men to portray Douglas. You know, let's kind of get the obviously Denzel Washington was first on my list, and Lawrence Fishburne and actors like that. But actually my producer, Shaun Babalola, had this amazing idea of using younger people but also a woman. Because I think using younger people and sort of and doing the thing where the actors sort of correspond with Douglas's age, not only does it show you how young he was in some of these speeches, but it gives you sort of a more modern take on these words. And that too goes for the set and the clothes that the actors are wearing. They're shot in very sort of modern, grungy warehouse sets. The actors are wearing their own clothes. One of the actors specifically wore a hoodie, as if to sort of give a nod to the modern relevance of Douglas's words, I think.
You're hearing Julie Marchese. She's the director of Frederick Douglass in Five Speeches, the very unique HBO special that is premiering tonight at 9 p.m. Eastern and Pacific Time. Julie joins me here in New York this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. Good to have you aboard as well on this Wednesday, the 23rd of February, 2022. Simon App, I'm with you live from Nueva York, 65 degrees now at this hour. And if you have a question or comment for Julia, make a call. Make it work, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room. Simon Apple 04 by name. This is the second of three episodes we are doing this week. And coming your way on Friday, we'll have episode number three of the week. We will have James Rowley, the executive producer of the new season of the award-winning, long-running Brain Games on National Geographic, the series of on-the-road specials. He's our lead guest. Then we hope to have somebody from the new BYU television series, Ruby and the Well. It's a new scripted series that BYU TV is so happy about, they've already greenlighted a second season. And finally, we'll showcase the new IMDb TV series, Drama World. It's a co-production of the United States and South Korea. From Canada, we will have executive producer, co-creator, and director Chris Martin, and we'll have the co-star, Sean Duet. He's live from South Korea, and he'll be with us from there. That's all coming up Friday, big 90-minute edition of Tomorrow Be Televised, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. Be with us. Talk about the five actors that you had playing Douglass's in different speeches. How did you find them? And how did you decide, okay, this person does this speech, this person does that speech, and so on?
Yeah, again, my producer was instrumental in this. She sort of had her pulse on up-and-coming actors who were making waves and that people wanted to see more of, really. So, you know, as I said, we tried to sort of correspond them with Douglas's ages when he gave the speech. So the first one, Denzel Whitaker, he's 23 years old. You know, I think one of his first movies was Training Day when he was a kid, you know. And he, you know, he really brought the fire of the young Douglas giving his first speech. And it was tremendous because he really could relate to him being so young. And Jonathan Majors is the second speech. And Jonathan is, again, he's about 31, and I think Douglas was 30 when he gave that speech. And Jonathan, you see the anger kind of coalescing in Douglas in that speech, and Jonathan really brought that. So you kind of see the evolution in the demeanor of these actors. And then, of course, Nicole Beharie delivers 4th of July, Douglas's most famous speech, and that's when Douglas is becoming more of a statesman. He's becoming a little more famous. He's got more style. He's got, you know, that's a really incredibly powerful speech. And then by the time you get to Coleman Domingo, it's the middle of the Civil War, and Douglas is kind of he's even more of a statesman, and he's kind of more hopeful. And I think you see that in Coleman Domingo's demeanor, where he's a little more relaxed, a little more there's less sort of agitation and fire. And then Jeffrey Wright is the final speech, and he has this more subdued demeanor, because I think that was Douglas's tone at the time. You know, it was the backlash after Reconstruction, and things were sort of heading in the wrong direction. So I think these actors, I wish I could say I planned it, but the actors' demeanors really did match the tone of the speech that Douglas was giving.
Mm-hmm. Also involved, who reads from Douglas's work, is Andre Holland. If you may know the name, I believe he was the star of the wonderful Cinemax series, The Nick. It was done by Steven Soderbergh here in New York. And I met him at the screening. I still remember the screening that Cinemax had for that show. A really fantastic event at an historical, by the way, place in New York. What was it like to work with Andre? We haven't heard from him in a while.
Yeah, I love The Nick so much, and I love Andre in it. And he's an incredibly versatile actor. And, you know, he just came in and he nailed it. We chose to have him, to film him reading from Douglas's autobiography just because we wanted Douglas's words to be all over this film. We wanted almost everything you hear, aside from the historians and some context, to be Douglas's words. And Andre just had that great sort of gentle but that gravitas to his voice, and very smooth. And, I mean, he just nailed it. And I love that he's sort of the tapestry throughout that film, bringing us back to Douglas's own voice.
Mm-hmm. Now, also in the special, you have a group of scholars, people like Henry Louis Gates, who, of course, wrote the book that that this special came out of, but also not just scholars, but also writers. You have a poet. You've got it. I want to talk about the descendant of Douglas in a moment, but how did you pick the folks that would not only sort of add their texture, if you will, to the special, but also sort of complement the readings, the speeches?
Yeah, well, the book was written by David Blight. He's a Yale historian. So Henry Louis Gates Jr. did not write it, but he is, Gates is, what people don't actually know about him is he does a lot of history stuff on TV, but he's actually a literature professor, a scholar of literature. And so for that reason, he knows Douglas very well. He teaches Douglas's autobiography, and he knows his writing very well. So he could speak to him, and he really speaks about Douglas on a really personal level and what Douglas means to him as a scholar and a black man. His interview was tremendous. And I really did, and then David Blight, of course, is the Douglas expert. Having written the biography, he just knows, I think it took him years and years to write it, so he's just the expert. So it was really these two playing off of each other to give us context, and I did add a few other scholars in certain moments, including actually Ken Morris, who isn't a scholar, but he is Douglas's third great-grandson, which is really kind of fun, and he does a lot with Douglas's legacy. And then also I had a couple of artists. Bisa Butler is in it. She did an amazing tapestry of Douglas. I didn't want to crowd it with scholars. I wanted to keep it, again, keep the focus on Douglas's words, on the actors, and on Andre. But, you know, these are sort of the top scholars, Blight and Gates, when it comes to talking about Douglas.
With Ken Morris, the descendant of Frederick Douglass, was there anything he said or any perspective he offered that maybe surprised you, that came out of left field?
Ken is a great guy. I've talked to him a few times over the years and for other projects, I think, and he's so passionate about carrying on this legacy of his family. And what's crazy is that, now I'm going to get it wrong, but he, like, something in his family is such that, like, I think his mother, or no, he knew his great-grandmother who actually met Douglas. So the connection is actually pretty close with him. And it's just always been such an important part of his life. And I met his daughters who are also involved. And it's just really wonderful to see how that family connection, you know, is so strong, and how dedicated he is to spreading love of Douglas everywhere. He's just a wonderful guy.
Mm-hmm. One reason why, for some people, Frederick Douglass is a name that is pretty known now is because in the last couple of years there have been efforts to tear down statues and other pieces of art or other memorabilia of Douglass in the wake of the riots that happened in 2020 and since. Has he offered any thoughts about that, about why are people inclined to tear down statues of him? Or to tear down other remnants of him and his contribution to society.
Are they doing that officially, or is that sort of vandalism? Are you hearing about that happening sort of on an official level, that they're taking down statues of him?
I don't know. You know, there were reports, and there were news reports back in 2020, 2021, that there were efforts to try to tear down statues or to tear down posters or other things, and I think there was a case of vandalism of one of the statues, one of Douglas's statues around the country.
Yeah, I think there was something that happened in Rochester, which is hometown. I mean, I don't think these are serious.
Right. Yes, in Rochester, New York. Yeah.
Yeah, I think these are, you know, acts of vandalism. I think, you know, people are angry. I think there's it's no secret there's a lot of division in this country and have been for many years now. And I suppose that's some reaction against the Confederate monument, monuments being taken down across the South. But yeah, I mean, I don't think anybody seriously believes that statues of Douglas should be taken down. If anything, I think we could probably use a few more of them.
For you, what was the most unique thing for you, or one of the most really for you and everybody involved in producing this special that you concluded, here's something I didn't know about Frederick Douglass, or here's something he said or a stand he had that, this I never knew. What provided some inspiration, let's say, in hearing the actors or hearing the commentators talk about the impact Douglass had on the United States, on society, and even on the world?
Yeah, I mean, there's so much. When you dig into Douglass, there's so much to read, but there's so much to be surprised by, you know. And some of it's inspirational, but some of it is just plain surprising. I mean, at some point, Douglass actually kind of got tired of talking about race and decided he was going to write about, like ancient English history or something. He was going to take a new tack. You know, he was sort of tired. He wanted a new, a new hobby in a way. So there's all these things but then the other surprising part about Douglass' life was his personal life, which never gets talked about. And I think Blight's book opened up for the first time, which is really interesting, but sort of his internal struggles as a man, which I think, you know, something we don't know much about and has sort of been inferred from his letters, his personal letters. But I think one of the things that Gates says in the film that I think is really powerful is about sort of making our heroes real. And I think one of the things I wanted to do with this is, yes, he's an inspirational figure who's said a lot of things and done a lot of things that are incredibly brave and inspirational in terms of the struggle for equal rights. But he's also a man. He was a real man, and he had problems, and he suffered from depression, and he wasn't perfect, you know. And I think that makes it almost easier. In a way, it makes it easier to be inspired by him because you remember that he was human, and so I actually think that humanizing him is one of my goals with this film, on some level, and you know, to the extent that I could get it in an hour, I think I succeeded. But yeah, I mean, there's so much about him that is you know, when you really deep dive into his writings, is surprising for sure.
Frederick Douglass in 5 Speeches. That's the special HBO presentation tonight, 9 p.m. Eastern and Pacific time on HBO. And we are speaking with director Julia Marchese. And if you have a question or comment, many minutes with her, make a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple049. Coming up, classic trivia question of the week. So stand by. You could be our second weekly winner in a row and third this month. So stay tuned. We have the nailed-in book from Netflix. That could be your prize if you know the answer to our classic trivia question. So stand by. The next winner could be you. Julia, what's next for you in terms of whether another documentary or something different from you?
I have a lot of ideas. I'm still sort of sorting out which is the next one. So I can't really – nothing I can share as of yet. But what I love about this work is that everything is always something different.
What do you like about directing documentaries or directing specials like this?
I think exactly what I just said. It's always something different. I'm an eternally curious person, and I think the challenge of taking a subject, especially a subject like Douglass, and figuring out how to make him, his life, his work accessible and interesting to people is really exciting to me. And I love, you know, as I said, I spent the pandemic reading Douglass speeches and trying to figure out what is going to resonate with people today. And, you know, with every job I take, every film I make, and most of my films are historical, it's all about trying to make it accessible and interesting and relevant. And, you know, I'm a history dork, so it's a fun job for me.
Mm-hmm. By the way, what was it like working with Henry Louis Gates?
Oh, it's great. I've known him for about 15 years. We've made several films together. I worked on his Finding Your Roots series, as well as, you know, other iterations of that series, as well as the Reconstruction series for PBS. So he and I are good friends, and he also has a sort of insatiable curiosity and a love of history and wanting to get this information out in ways that also entertain people. So I love working with him.
When you do a historical documentary, whether it's on Frederick Douglass or a particular development of history, whether well-known or a sidelight or something unknown before people see it, what's front of mind for you? What's sort of front of mind in terms of working with your production team to get the best out of the subject?
I think it's just about, well, you know, if it's a subject, if it's a historical subject or a person, it's just about what do people not know, which, you know, with history sometimes can feel like a lot, but I think it's what's going to surprise people. What is the angle here? What's important here? You know, I think it's always about trying to find the thing that's going to emotionally resonate with people. Like what's going to, you know, even though it's history, even though maybe it's politics or it's complicated, you know, whatever it is, there's usually a something in it that's going to have an emotional resonance with an audience. So you always try to find those stories and those things that you think people will respond to emotionally, because that's really what storytelling is, right? It's getting, it's sort of hitting people, not making them cry, but certainly making them feel. And that's always, you know, it can be challenging with history, but I don't think it's challenging with somebody like Douglass.
Mm-hmm. The special is Frederick Douglass in 5 speeches, and the 5 speeches are given by Denzel Whitaker, Jonathan Majors, Nicole Beharie, Coleman Domingo, and Jeffrey Wright, with Andre Holland as the narrator, and also reading from Douglass's work as well. And it all happens tonight at 9 p.m. Pacific time on HBO. Check your local news for HBO available in the area on cable and satellite. For more details about the program online, go to HBO.com, and the program will also replay on HBO Max, which is available on smart TV sets and smart TV devices all over the place, and some places through your local cable operator. For more details about that, HBOMax.com. That's HBOMax.com. Frederick Douglass in 5 Speeches premieres tonight, 9 p.m. Eastern and Pacific Time on HBO. Julia Marchese, director of the program, thank you again for joining us. Congratulations in advance for how it goes tonight and the critical and audience reaction. I think it's going to be something very special. And we thank you again for taking the time on the same day to be with us. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
You're very, very welcome. Take care. All the greatest.
Okay. Take care.
Julia Marchese, director of Frederick Douglass in 5 Speeches, joining me here in New York. Now time for our classic trivia question of the week. We introduced the question on our show yesterday, and so get your thinking caps on, because if you know the answer, you could win Nailed It, Baking Challenge for the Rest of Us. It's a new family cookbook from the producers of the popular Netflix series, and if you know the answer and email it, and first to do so, you win. Here is the question. Remember, 10 years ago, Netflix introduced its first original scripted series. That was Lilyhammer, starring Stephen Van Zandt. Here's the question. Name Netflix's first unscripted series. That's Netflix's first unscripted series that premiered in 2015, 3 years after its first scripted series. Once again, the question, name Netflix's first unscripted series. If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Make sure you enclose your name and your mailing address. So if we get you as the correct winner, you get the prize ASAP. And if we don't get a winner by the end of today, we'll post the question tomorrow morning on Facebook and on Twitter. Facebook at Simon Applebaum, Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. That's UBC Simon TWBT. Remember, in order to win, you got to play in. So do so, and all the very best. We'd love to have our second weekly winner in a row and our third winner in 4 weeks. That can be you, so get going and get that answer in. Before we leave you, I want to once again let you know that yesterday we had an amazing episode about the unique telehealth on television venture, Maya MD. We had co-founders Christian Haberman and Dr. Vanessa Chengak. If you missed that episode, I really urge you tuning in at blogtalkradio.com/televised or go to our podcast destinations, iHeartRadio Podcast Network, Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, Verbal and Reason, and check it out. The takeaway of that episode was this is not just an advancement in telehealth on television, but this is also a forerunner of what could be a major trend in the interactive television era, and certainly this decade, which is the idea of personal digital assistants that you call up and control through your television set that is created by artificial intelligence or computer generation. It really was something very unique, and hopefully we'll see what happens. So check out that episode from yesterday with Maya MD's co-founders. I think you will find it very, very illuminating. Again, thanks to both of our guests for being with us today and all of you for tuning in. Remember, we're back on Friday, 90-minute episode with James Rowley, the executive producer of the return of the National Geographic long-running and award-winning series Brain Games, with On the Road episodes. We'll also have somebody, maybe two, from the new BYU TV series, Ruby and the Whale, that has already gotten the go-ahead for a second season. And from Canada and South Korea, the executive producers of the new IMDb TV series, Drama World, Chris Martin and Sean DeLake. Chris will be with us from Canada, Sean from South Korea. It's the first time we've had a guest, by the way, from Korea on this program. So be sure to tune in. I think you'll really enjoy what you have to hear. Big 99 episode coming your way. And then back to our two-a-week schedule next week, and we'll have our first March episode on March 4th, a week from Friday. And joining us for that one will be the Chief Executive Officer of the new smart TV distributed channel, Yana TV, Tara Merchant. Wait to hear what she's doing here in the Big Apple for this service, including a new production studio in the heart of Queens and a community outreach aspect to this service, which will be both subscription and ad-supported. That is all coming up a week from Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, exclusively here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. If you came in late on today's episode, or you want to catch up on the Maya MD episode you missed yesterday and many of our episodes this month, go to our homepage. They're available to you right now. Simon App, blogtalkradio.com/televised. Oops, get those voice down together here. Take a breath. There we go. Blogtalkradio.com/televised. That's blogtalkradio.com/televised. And remember, our podcasts are available 24/7 for you at Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, Verbal Reason, the iRadio Podcast Network, also on Apple TV, iTunes, Spreaker Podcast, and TuneIn.com. We'd love to hear from you. What do you think about our guests today and the shows they're doing? One is already up and running, 3 months on Paramount Plus, and Frederick Douglass in 5 speeches tonight at 9 p.m. Eastern Pacific on HBO. And what's your thoughts about where TV is at and where it's going? Email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. That's simonapple04@yahoo.com. You can also find me on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. Facebook and LinkedIn at Simon Applebaum. Twitter at UBC Simon, TWBT. However you respond to what we have on this program or your thoughts about TV in general, we respond back to you within 24 hours. That's our pledge to you. Why? Because what you say matters now more than ever. The views expressed here are those of the participants. They are not necessarily those of Blog Talk Radio and other distributors of this program. Andy Toe is Blog Talk Radio's general manager. Jay Sonnenberg is head of content. Website service provided by On Podium, the internet's new podcast outpost. For details, go to onpodium.com. Guitarist Vegas is our web coordinator. Tomorrow Be Televised is brought to you by Audible.com, the audio marketplace of Amazon.com. Remember, Audible transforms the way you hear the world. For a free audiobook or two in a one-month trial, it's audibletrial.com/televised. Remember, it makes a great gift for you or someone you know. For Tomorrow Be Televised, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for your listening. Have a great rest of your Wednesday and your week. We are back on Friday, big 99 edition for you, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, you know where, Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio, and all of our podcast destinations. Whatever you're up to between now and then, please make it safe, make it great, make it fun. If you haven't been vaccinated, see your doctor, check your medical situation, find out about the new antiviral pills that are available for you as an option, and then make a great choice, your choice. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.